First, I would like to make it clear, I am a graduate of ABC and actually went through the pastoral program, which I'm very thankful for. But God did not call me to preach into the pastorate. So I am not a preacher, and so I get to preach. I think the last 3 years I've had the opportunity to preach once a year, and that once has been up here. So my goal is really to share my heart, to share a message and talk to you. I count this time a very precious time because obviously the Word of God is just very precious, and it can truly change lives, and it changed lives for all eternity. I'd like to thank Dr. Anderson for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the opportunity for letting me serve on the board of directors. Dr. Anderson, I can tell you, truly loves this ministry. He has dedicated himself, as well as his wife Rosalie has dedicated himself totally to this ministry. We appreciate that. And also, I would like to thank you for his friendship, and also want to thank the faculty and the staff. The board knows that really this ministry is what it is because God has called the right people here to minister here. You minister with the, obviously with your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength, and the talking with you and about the ministry and seeing your dedication, it obviously comes out. And let me assure you that also Dr. Anderson at every board meeting makes it clear that the blessings that are done is through the staff. I mean, the Lord uses the staff, and he always is very thankful and praiseworthy of the quality of the men and the women that God has directed here. And he lifts you up every board meeting. Also, I want to thank the students. Now, I'm sure you're here because you really want to be here. It's not a mandatory thing for you, so it'd be sad to come up here and look out here and see a bunch of empty seats or to see the faculty and staff. So thank you for coming. And also in reality, when I come to this day, the little bit of hair that I have usually gets standing straight up. Or inside within my heart, I'm looking for that pole so I can just grab onto this microphone. Scares me. And as we get into the message, if it goes the way I think it will, you understand some of this or some of the reasons for this fear. And you always got that fear, you get up here and, I know what I'm supposed to say, but I just can't get it to come out. So, let's see. My objectives. Obviously, one of the things I have learned through the water company is anytime you go into a meeting, a staff meeting or a meeting with the union, you should always have objectives and at least know what you are hoping to accomplish. My objectives today is to proclaim God's faithfulness in my life, his call in my life, as well as the working that he has accomplished in my life. And the second objective is to encourage you, especially the students, just that your faith would be strengthened within the Lord. But really, hopefully, to communicate that I want you to take advantage of the opportunities that you have here at ABC. ABC was a very very precious time within my life. The Lord really used this ministry to help me learn about his word, to see people that truly cared about me. And this taught me, you know, the joys and the preciousness it is of having the God, the great and the mighty, the awesome, the creator, the sustainer of life, personally caring for me and desiring to work within my life and wanting me to learn about his word so I can go out and help others or proclaim his word. And also like for you to hopefully learn to take the initiative to be a difference maker. That it's really, you know, we have a free will and times that we have to choose. So Those are the objectives that I'm hoping to achieve. Obviously, when I was here at ABC, the main objective I had was graduation. And I'm sure that's a lot of yours' objective. When I came up here, I didn't come to ABC until I was 20 years old. The Lord, when I was 18, I really wasn't saved. Or if I was, I was within a carnal state. And I went to West Virginia Tech to major in drafting, engineering, design, and basically didn't do very well. Which I'm sure you're not going to be pleased to hear that your chairman of the board about flunked out of his college. But that's what happened. After a year and a half, I wasn't doing very well and basically had a lot of either you can withdraw failing or you can withdraw now and with incompletes. So I decided to withdraw with incompletes. And then I went to West Virginia State, majored in architecture, and I was a little bit more mature, and things were going better, and I was doing decent, but the Lord was working in my heart. And then it came to that point where, I mean, are you willing to do anything that I want you to do? Of course, back in, it says, okay, are you willing to be a preacher? I really did not want that type of call, but after about 2 years wrestling with that, I said, okay, Lord, I will do that. And then I decided to, you know, I went and told my dad that, okay, Dad wants me, or the Lord wants me to go to Appalachian Bible College. And Dad just kind of like laughed. Said, you're having trouble making it in a secular college. How are you going to make it at a Christian college? Your standards are a lot higher and a lot more stringent. So at first he said no. He said, you can go, but I'm not helping you. I'm not going to pay your way. And so I said, well, the Lord wants me to go. And fortunately, I had a brother who was older than me, and he was a good Christian mentor to me, and he said, hey, go, follow the Lord, we'll help you. But before I came, the Lord worked in my dad's heart. And he paid my way up here. And I really praise the Lord for that. But when you come to that day of graduation, you will get the opportunity, as I did, to walk across this stage. Of course, at that time, we didn't have this stage, but you'll come across and you'll get to say a verse. And the verse, my graduation verse, was 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. And that is a very, very precious verse to me, because it was God who got me through Appalachian Bible College. Now, I realize that really 1 Thessalonians 5:24 is, it goes into, it's really a prayer that is seen in 23 and 24. And the structure of those two verses is, you know, you got the statement of the request in verse 23a, and the elaboration of the request in verse 23b. And the assurance in verse 24. And that assurance meant everything to me, because I knew that since God had called me, it was going to be him who would have to get me through. It was God that called me. And I guess through my time here at ABC, the thing that I have learned, and even through, I was saved, I guess I graduated in 1981, so that's, 27 years ago. During that time, even the more, the preciousness of God's call, I mean, God, I do believe in total depravity, being totally deprived. God had to seek me out. I could not find God. God had to reveal himself unto me. And so there was that call. And some other scriptures to support that, 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. 2 Thessalonians 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first time that I truly heard the gospel was when I was 13 years old. And I was attending, at that time, Cross Plains Bible Church. Pastor Jim Efall was working with my dad because we had some property, or he owned some property out there in Cross Plains. And Cross Plains Bible Church wanted to get involved with the school. It was back in the late 60s and early 70s, I guess, when you had the textbook controversy. And so Pastor Jim Efall was very, dad owned 40 acres out there in Cross Plains, so he came and talked to dad. And because of that, we started attending Cross Plains Bible Church. My parents, back, they had their philosophy was, hey, if you go to church, you're doing the right thing on Sunday morning. Wasn't really mature within the Bible. It's, you know, church was church. But when I went to Cross Plains Bible Church at 13, Pastor Jim Efall shared the gospel, and we sat way back here in the back. And at the end, I knew, hey, I was lost, that I needed Christ. But at that time, they had probably about 300 to 350 people. I said, Lord, I'm not walking out in front of all these people. Why don't you come back? Why don't you come into my heart back here in the pew? And that's, if you go back to the first slides where you see that shaking on the pole and stuff like that, growing up, I never really liked getting in front of people. That was always, going through school, I was shy and timid. And so I didn't want to go in front of all those people. That was a lot of people to walk out in front of. So I felt, I guess, I had kind of like somewhat of an emotional feeling. But for the next 2 weeks, I went out and witnessed to my friends. But yet, it didn't take long for me to get back into my old habits. And then I was running around with them. And really, for the next 5 years, I ran around with them. But I knew there was always at times when, okay, Lord, if I would die, I want to go to hell. Now, if I was saved when I was 13, obviously, because if you go to 1 Corinthians 2 and 3, it talks about the natural man, it talks about the carnal man, it talks about the spiritual man. Obviously, the natural man knows nothing about God, where the carnal man has been saved, but they're living within the flesh. I guess, I'll find out when the Lord brings you home, but being in the flesh was just like being in the natural. So, but then when I was 18, I was going to West Virginia Tech, and I was dating this girl who really came from a troubled home. Her mom and dad kind of abused them a little bit, and it was just a really rough home to be in. But so one of her refuge was she had a good family up above where they lived, Pastor Snodgrass, who was a pastor at Big Bottom Baptist Church, now on Camel Street. And so we would go up there and play aggravation, just play some games. And one night when I took her home, we were just looking at the stars, and I said, I know God is out there. And then she said, well, she wanted to be saved. And I said, hey, that's fantastic. Let me take you back up to Pastor Snodgrass so he can tell you how you can be saved and lead you to the Lord. And when we went up there, God, he came and talked to me, and he said, and I shared my story, especially when I was 13 and what was happening in my life. He said, Romy, you need to show God you want to be serious. You need to walk out, and you need to, go forward. And this was on a Saturday night, December 28, 1974. I said, okay, tomorrow morning at church, I want to go. I want to go forward. And at that time, we were attending Brown United Methodist, a real small country church out where I live, about 30 or 35 people. So when we got to the invitation, we got to the song part, we sang the verse, and then on the very last stanza of that verse, seemed like the Holy Spirit that said, Romy, I have communicated, you know what you need to do. This is your last chance. And I took one step, and then I seemed like I was at the altar after that one step. But I went forward and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was on December 29th, 1974. And my mom came forward and rededicated her life, and she was right beside of me. And when I got up, there was probably like 30-some people behind me praying for me, which obviously tells you what type of reputation I had within that community, because they thought a miracle has truly taken place that day. But I praise the Lord for that. And after that, you know, I changed my friends, and that was a real big thing that really helped within my life. There was a lot of good Christian young men that took me in. That way, when I needed things to do and go to be with people, I had other friends to be with, and they strengthened me within the Lord. So I praise God that He called me, and I just praise Him for that. And that verse is so true. I also believe that there are, if you look at it, He is trying to do things within my life. And if you go back to verse 23, First Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the things that God is doing within in our life. These are the things that, you know, faithful He will call it, who also will do it. Let me back up. There's one thing I forgot to say. The word also in verse 24. In studying this passage, the structure of the passage makes a difference concerning the word also. The book by W.E. Vine stated, whereas in Greek also makes the word that follows it emphatic, in English also throws the emphasis on the word that precedes it. Therefore, the order of the words must be changed in translating that the sense might be rightly expressed. God not only calls the saints, so that complete salvation described in verse 23, He Himself will accomplish it in them by His own will. Praise the Lord for that. I know that I am but dust, but yet God takes the responsibility to perfect His will within my life. And what is that will? Again, His will is to sanctify me, which is to separate and to purify, to preserve, to attend to carefully and to take care of. Now, the Lord has led me into the water industry and been there. I'm working on my 28th year with West Virginia American Water Company. And I do appreciate their willingness to allow me to participate in Appalachian Bible College and to be part, and they truly support me, and I thank the company for that. But obviously, our job is to purify water. I'm like at muddy water, and I'm sure, I know a lot of times people come and talk to me about our water rates, you know, that they're high, you know, that really, I say, well, you know, you can go to the river and get all the water you want free of charge. And here is, you know, the picture. And also, you know, on the river you can find algae and things like that growing within the water. But the water company allows us to take that water and run it, to separate the particles from it, to add chemicals to it so that the particles will fall out, to take it through GAC, granular activated carbon, so that, you know, the taste and the odor goes out of it so that when it comes out of your faucet, you're not smelling the fishy smell, or the, you're not seeing particles in it. So you can drink that water and have confidence that it's not going to make you sick. In a sense, that's what God is doing within my life. Obviously, when I was saved, I was like the mud, and I had algaes and things within my life. But yet, when he saved me, he cleansed me totally. Positionally, through Christ, I have eternal security. I am with the Lord. But from a practical standpoint, he is developing and he's taking care of me. And I praise the Lord that it is he that is doing that, that it's not totally up to me. And also blameless, that there will be no cause for censure. Now, some of the things that he's trying to teach me is also found within 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'd like to go back. One other thing. Another basic truth is that God is faithful. And that is the reason I selected the meditation verse this morning, because Numbers 23:19 is, God is not man that he should lie, nor is a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will not he do, or has he spoken and will not make it good? In Romans 11:29, for the gifts of the calling of God are irrevocable. It is, when I came to ABC, like I say, I was really struggling. Mr. Chesley, I think I saw you. I really praise you for your English class and the way you really worked with him in life, and as well as your science class. I really praise the Lord for the teachers. I know Dr. Parvin and Dean Kennedy and this Dr. Ryder. There was a lot of people that really took interest. I praise them. But God is faithful, and God truly worked with him in my life, and actually I got on the Honor Society up here at ABC, which is just blew my mom and dad totally out of the water. But he has been faithful. And one of the things that he has been faithful within throughout our life, our daughter Kate, which is our second child, our oldest daughter. Hopefully I can get through this. But when she was around 5 years old, she was fainting a lot. And so we took her to the hospital, and her white blood cells are very high. And of course, Susan is a nurse, is very concerned, but it was secondary polycythemia or something like that, that the Susan noticed her, which means that there's something wrong, but that's not the main reason, but there's something wrong within the body. So when we finally found out, in her left lung, she had AV malformation, which means that the arteries and the veins are joining together within the left lung, and when the blood was passing through the left lung, it was not receiving the oxygen that it needed to receive. So therefore, at times within her life, the brain was not getting enough oxygen, and she would pass out. Now, this normal saturation levels for the normal is about 99, 98, 99, 100. Kate was down around 87, 89, very serious. And so they went in there and looked at her lung. Eventually, we took her to Cincinnati Children's Hospital. They went in there, and the whole left lung was filled with these AV malformations. There was no way that, you know, they could this isolate it to one lobe of the lung. So what they did, since she was 5 years old, they went through the leg, and they would go in there, and they put these little pellets in there that would force the blood to go other ways. And so her oxygen would increase, and she but about a year later, her saturation would fall down again. So you take her back at Cincinnati's Children's Hospital, they go back through the leg, and they put some more in there. But the third time when they did that, they said, you know, we can't do this anymore. They're not really having an effect. You have to come to a decision of more than likely we're going to have to take the lung out. At this time, I guess she was in fifth grade, so, you know, she's about 10 or 11 years old. And the Lord has been faithful through that time. I know there's, again, thanks to ABC and teaching his word, there is several passages, but one was, I mean, when Moses went to, he said, you know, Lord, who am I to send me to Israel? He said, you know, I'm a slow to speak. God said, well, you know, who made the dumb, who made the blind, who made, you know, the lame? And just so that you had no misunderstanding, he said, did not I the Lord? So I knew that this condition that Kate had was there because God wanted her to have that condition. And then you go to the New Testament, he says, you know, if his son comes to you and asks for a bread, you're not going to give him a snake. And because you love your child, you'll do anything for your child. And yet God, who is in heaven, loves us a lot more than that. So I knew God loved Kate more than I would ever love her. And then I remember Pastor Bill Rudd, when I was down at Grace Gospel, gave a message, and he was talking about Hezekiah, and I guess when he was on his deathbed, and he was praying, and, you know, I don't want to die. And the Lord spared his life and allowed him to live another 15 years. But Pastor Rudd spoke, I guess during that 15 years, Hezekiah was a good king, but he also revealed the treasuries that was in Judah within Jerusalem, which is one of the reasons that Babylon wanted to come and to overtake the northern or the southern kingdoms so that they could have their treasures. And Bill Rudd kind of like made the statement, you know, that is something that was there in his life that he disobeyed God in. And so my thing was, Lord, you love Kate. If Kate is not going to be beneficial to you within this world, then take her home. Because for her to stay here and bring dishonor to you and have a terrible life and not live for you, she's better off being with you. The loss is mine, not hers. But if she's here for your will, for your purpose, I pray that things will go well. And fortunately for God's will has so far been, because we went to Cincinnati, they took the lung out. And the fear was when you take the lung out, obviously you're dumping all the blood to the right lung. And if she had that problem in the left lung, chances are she may have it in the right lung, and therefore that extra blood would reveal this situation. And then she'd be even further down the creek because she'd only be have one lung left, because you can't, if you start that procedure, you can't reverse it. But we went up there and they took out her lung, and everything's been fine. I know she'll graduate next year or in May in nursing, and she, you know, has a very normal and healthy life, and I praise the Lord for that. So God has been faithful and has always been faithful to us. Something I'd like to just go through real quick. If you look at, I mean, he's changing our lives, and the things that he wants us to work on is really found in, you know, like 1 Thessalonians 5:12-22. And two things just real quick. If you look at 12 and 13, it says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourself. This is actually talking our responsibility to our church leaders. But let me encourage you, students, take advantage of this with the people here at ABC. As you can see, they are Christian leaders, and I beg you to recognize, and recognize means to know, and to know them, just not by their face, but to truly get to know them and talk to them and understand them. Because they labor among you, and that labor within the Greek means that they really labor very exhaustively. I mean, they work very hard and they're weary among you. And they do this so that you can grow within the Lord, and so that you can know the Word of God. And they're over you. That God has placed them over you so that you can learn and be taught from them. And they are here to instruct you, admonish, to instruct you within the Word. So therefore, let me encourage you to esteem them very highly and give them the honor that they need. When I was here, probably one of the teachers that I got to know very well was Dean Kennedy. Now, he was the dean of students, and that should give you a good insight. That's probably not the person you want to know the best, because it means that back in you had pink slips and you were campus, and for some reason I still had a little fire in me, I guess. I was on the basketball team. Hopefully Coach Bartlett, the basketball team, has a better reputation today than maybe they did when I was back in school. But we got to know Dean Kennedy very well. But he was very gracious to us and helped us out. The other thing is in 514 and really dealing with being a difference maker. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all. Notice, you know, warn those who are unruly. Unruly would be out of step. One of my jobs is I deal with the union at our location. And we have a collective bargaining agreement. So when I feel like that they're not in step with that collective bargaining agreement, it's my job to hold them accountable to that CBA. And then if they don't like me holding them accountable, they'll file grievance. So you get into these meetings, you go through this grievance procedure. If you can't reconcile the grievance, under the contract, you go to an arbitrator who is a third party. And part of the contract says whatever that third party decides, we both agree to live with. So when you go to the arbitrator, you got to go in there and you got to justify, you know, based off the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, why you believe you are right. Probably last year, I know we had to go to arbitration, and because they were trying to, the union wanted one department to be responsible for put in risers. When you got meters in the ground, sometimes the ground will settle and they'll fall down, so we got these little risers you can put on and raise them up, so it's easier to change a meter, it's easier to turn it off. And the union said, well, only this one department can use it. And I said, no, anybody in the union can put in a riser. It only takes you 5 minutes. I mean, it's real simple to do. So we went to arbitration on that, and they brought in a lot of people. And, of course, my prayer was, Lord, you know, your will be done. I know you want the best, but I really do want to win this case. And fortunately, the company won the case. The arbitrator saw it and said that we did this. But it's hard to go through those situations because I don't really like conflict, but that's part of the job. So let me encourage you to keep ABC pure. Comfort the faint-hearted. That is people like me who lack courage to get up and to do things. Go out there and encourage people. And uphold the weak. Those who are, really don't even have the ability to do that, understand that and help them out. These statements I got from Sean Thornton, a message I heard him give. Difference makers are, while others consciously watch, difference makers clearly act. While others are self-absorbed, difference makers are other-oriented. While others impress people, difference makers impact people. The difference makers to me, and I would encourage you students are here, one is Dr. Pipkin, obviously ABC, him being faithful to the Lord's calling, the coming, and even starting a Bible school. Another one, obviously, is Dr. Daniel Anderson. It is truly a pleasure working with him on the board, and again, seeing the passion and love that him and Rosalie has for this ministry. And the other ones are the faculty and the staff. Again, you truly are different makers, and I appreciate you being here and being other-oriented, and it's just like our motto, because life is for service. You're here to serve the Lord and to serve the student body. Well, I hope that you have been somewhat encouraged. Our God is faithful. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. And so you can be excited. You can be assured that God will work in your life and you have a bright future. Please join with me in prayer. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you just for you being the one true God. There is no other God. You are the creator and the sustainer of all. I thank you for thy salvation through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for allowing me to understand that. Thank you for the working that you have done within my heart, and I pray that you'll help me to be obedient. Help me, Father, to grow more within thy spirit. Help me to be more appreciative and more understanding of really of thy glory and of thy might, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I thank you for Appalachian Bible College. I thank you for each and every person who is here today. And I pray that your spirit would work within their life, and this year would be a glorious year unto thee, and that the student body would be a one mind and of one heart, and that they would be able to bind and feel the unity that only can come through the Lord Jesus Christ and through thy spirit. Again, I thank you for this day and pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.